before a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, I will give to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. His baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. To our hopes and to our fears, Savior of the world appears. Promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Child is born, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forevermore,
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, that sounded really good.
Yeah.
I got a question for you guys. What do you think hope means? With Christmas, do you guys have some hopes now on maybe what you might get for Christmas or maybe want? Or you're probably hoping for snow so you could build a snowman this afternoon, weren't you? Yeah, I knew that was. Well, in the Bible, hope tells us we are assured of a future because of God's promise to us. If we have Jesus in our hearts, we can have the hope and know that he's going to give us a life forever with him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? When I was thinking about this and reading the text and thinking about you guys, the first song that popped in my head was, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. That's a powerful hope right there. That's a promise. It's not just a hope, it's a promise. Jesus loves every one of you so much. In today's reading from Joel, we're going to see that there is an invitation that tells us that we all have hope and can have an eternal life with Jesus forever. We can hope on things and stuff, but the one thing that we can definitely count on that we will get if we have Jesus in our heart is a life with him forever. And that's the most important thing ever, because Jesus loves each and every one of you. Will you guys say a short echo prayer with me? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we have you in our hearts.
That we have you in our hearts.
And you promise us.
And you promise us.
The hope of a life with you.
The hope of a life with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and verses 28 through 29. Yet, even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Would you please rise to the reading of the gospel? Today's gospel reading comes from the chapter of Luke, chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know now how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here ends the reading. You may be seated.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. So today we have a special guest evangelist. We have Reverend Sylvester Weatherall, who is our district superintendent from the Spoon River District. How long have you been the Spoon River District superintendent?
5 years.
5 years. And it has been an honor. I've been so excited to be in Spoon River because I get to work with Sylvester and I get to be close to my family. And we have loved it here. But this man loves Jesus and he loves people and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has given him a message for us today to give us hope in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Will you join me as we pray for Sylvester? Come, Holy Spirit. Shower this man of God with your love for him, kind Father, as a beloved son in Jesus Christ with whom you are well pleased. Thank you for the message that you have given him. We pray for your peace and presence with his family who's not here right now, and he is here away from his family. We pray that you will comfort them and that you will give him the boldness and the confidence in your word like he has never had until this moment. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, Alpha. How are you?
Good.
I give you greetings from my wife, Aletha, who's preaching this morning in two churches in the Springfield area. And she couldn't be here today, but she sent me to tell you that your pastor has sent me a text that I think he was trying to stump me. I don't think I've ever preached from the Joel text before. And I don't usually let pastors give me a text to preach from, but you can't say no to Zach once he starts in on you. You just say yeah or just get out of the way. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will be with me. And if we run long today, it's not my fault, it's his.
They know that.
Pray with me. Spirit of living God, fall fresh now on this preacher. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today marks the second Sunday in the season of Advent. And the church is a little different than the world. We are in every aspect. As the world is preparing for the end of its calendar year, Advent marks the beginning of the church's calendar year. Amen. Advent says to the world that we are beginning our celebration of when Christ came in the first Advent, that first Christmas morning when God became a human being and took on all that we are and enabled us to be all that he is. And it also says to us that our God is going to return, that the next thing on God's agenda, the next thing on God's calendar is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to judge the quick and the dead. And in the meantime, the season of Advent reminds us that we should be ready for that return, and we can only be ready by every day accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we can get to lunch quicker if we get those amens coming a little faster. It says to us that we cannot live without the Lord Jesus Christ guiding and directing our lives. That it's way too difficult to live in a world that's bound in darkness without God's Spirit resting on us. So this season of Advent, we prepare ourselves to accept Christ in our hearts every day so that we can live the way God wants us to live. A whole lot of times in our world, we hear that we're living in the last days. And when you hear that, it often means that we're living in the days when we're expecting Christ's second coming any day now. But I've noticed, my brothers and sisters, that that only happens during a cataclysmic world event such as the fires in Gatlinburg and all the other things that are happening in our world. But as soon as those events subside, we go right back to business as usual. So my question this morning, Pastor, is, are we there yet? Are we living in the last days? Are we indeed there yet? And if we are living in the last days, if we are there, what does it mean for the church to be living in this age? What does it mean for the church to be living in a world where Christ is coming back at any time? You see, when Jesus came that first Christmas, he brought with him a whole new world order, a whole new way of living, a whole new kingdom where he is Lord. It is a kingdom where we play by only one rule, and that is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. During Jesus's first advent, he demonstrated this law by how he treated people. Jesus accepted everybody. When they tried to keep the little kids from coming to him, he said, "Let the little kids come to me." When they said you shouldn't be talking to women, he said, "A woman by the world, go and by the well, go and tell the world about a Savior who can give them living water." Jesus demonstrated that we are to be acceptant of all people in the world. His concern for people is evident in the scriptures when we read them. When Jesus was preparing the disciples for his departure, he left them with these words, "Greater works will you do than you've seen me do." He gives to us a task that is so awesome. He says it's going to be even greater than what we read about Jesus doing in the scripture. He gives us the job of spreading the good news of his kingdom of hope, of his kingdom of mercy, of his kingdom of grace to a world that's bent and set on living their way. So the season of Advent, my brothers and sisters, my prayers, may his kingdom come. For us, it's the greatest thing that we can wish for his kingdom to come on earth. And our job is to be ready when that final kingdom come, and be ready by spreading the good news to everybody that we come in contact with, that God is a God of love and God has power for you to live victorious here and now. Amen. In the text that Pastor Zach gave me to preach from today, the prophet Joel is preaching, speaking a prophetic text 8 centuries before the birth of Jesus and 8 centuries before the apostle Peter stands on that day of Pentecost and proclaims these very words. If you'll read Acts 2, it is these words that Peter stands and proclaims. On those last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and everybody will have the power to tell the world about who God is. Joel reminds us that if we're going to be kingdom builders and live in this world God's way, we need a powerful outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. That's a good place to say amen right there. So if Joel's prophecy and Peter's quote of the coming of the Holy Spirit is true, my friends, you see that we have an awesome mission. A mission that God never intended for us to try to take on our own. It's a mission so big that there's no way in the world that we can do it without God's help. It's a mission that's so large that without God fueling us, the church will utterly fail. I will submit to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that we're faltering as a church because we have stopped leaning and depending on God's Spirit. When Joel said, God will pour out his Spirit, I think the church ought to be looking for that Spirit every day, because it is a pronouncement that there's nowhere in the world that we could be God's church without God's Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It also shows us the sovereignty of God. The I in that verse describes God is saying that I am going to empower you. I am going to give you what you need. I have all you need in order to make it down here. You can't find it in television evangelists. You can't find it in Dr. Phil. You can't find it in none of these self-help programs. What God wants us to do can only be achieved by God's Spirit, and only God can give us God's Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You see, God is saying, we need him. My brothers and sisters, if the church has one fault, it is that we do not lean and depend on God for our every need. God is sovereign. And that lets me know that the promises that God has promised you and I of eternal life, of Jesus being with us every day, of God's Spirit thundering in our souls, God's sovereign means that that is a fact. It is happening. God is so powerful that God is with us. Not going to be. God is with us. No matter what we read on TV, God is with us. And he say, I will pour out my spirit. I'm on biblical territory here. You see, when Moses went down to Egypt to face Pharaoh, God told Moses, tell Pharaoh that I am has sent me. And then Jesus picked up that same I am statement in John 6 when he says, I am the living bread. And then again in John 8 when he said, I am the light of the world. And then again in John 8:5-8, he says, therefore, I was before Abraham, I am. Brothers and sisters, our God is sovereign. It simply means God guides, God sustains, God loves, and God longs to have fellowship with you and I. Amen?
Amen.
It means God reveals God's self as a parent who's in love and in a relationship with us. It means God has borne our grief, that God has carried our sorrows, that God knows everything that you're going through because he lived it in his son, Jesus Christ. And it also means that God has given us the Holy Spirit so that in our hearts and minds, we can always keep above what the world is saying and keep our minds stayed on Jesus. It also means that during this Advent season, we should be inviting Jesus into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, so that the Spirit can empower us to live life God's way. The second thing this text says to us, I will pour out my Spirit. I will means that God has a plan not only for this world, but God has designed a plan individually for you and I. That God has something for you to do. That God has designed your life in such a way and gifted you in such a way that God has a plan for you. That God has strategically placed you not only in Alpha United Methodist Church, but God has strategically placed you in the church for such a time as this, because you have what God needs in order to bring the world back to God. God has a plan for your life, and the sooner we figure out what that plan is, the more God's will can get along, and the more people of the world will begin to know how much God loves them, and their hope is not in any human thing, but their hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Friends, the world has gotten out of hand. I submit to you that we're now in a post-Christian world. Let me tell you how I know that. When I grew up in the city of St. Louis, in East St. Louis, you couldn't even buy a gallon of gas on Sunday morning. Nowadays, Walmart's open almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People have to work on Sundays. When I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, people didn't schedule anything on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Those were church nights. Those were choir rehearsal nights. Those were prayer nights. Those were youth nights. Those nights were sacredly and given to the church. But nowadays, the church has to fight for Sunday morning. Not only has the NFL taken it, but modern business has taken it. And even on Christmas, I don't think Walmart's going to close for 6 hours, because they're trying to get the after Christmas sales going on as quickly that's humanly possible. My friends, the world has strayed away from the God in which our money says, in God we trust. And that is problematic, because not only does God, we in God we trust, but the problem is God trusts us. Can you imagine? God trusts us to tell the world that God is not on vacation, that God is not dead, that God has not left this world to itself, that God is still on the throne, that God still has power, that God still is dispensing grace and mercy, that God has a plan and a will for every individual who will call him Lord.
Amen.
Point three, God is a generous God. God said, I will pour out my Spirit. God's generosity is displayed in that word, pour out. He didn't say trickle out. See, if it was me, I'd give you a little bit at a time, because most of us can't handle a whole pouring. But when I hear that word, I will pour out, it's as if God says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm going to let it rain and rain and rain my Spirit on top of you, so that you are so full of my Spirit that everybody that comes in contact with you will be able to see the overflowing emphasis and power that's bubbling up on the inside of you. It's so much that you don't even have room to contain it. Amen. From the beginning of time, God has been known to give us grace and mercy. Grace that's unmerited favor of God. Mercy, that unbelievable kindness of God. God gives us the things that we are unable to give ourselves. God empowers us to do things that we are unable to do for ourselves. God overwhelms us with love and compassion and support and patience and understanding. God does this so that we might feel the tremendous power and presence of God, God's Holy Spirit, in our lives and our total dependence on him to live God's way in the world. Point four, and I'm almost done. They're too quiet. I might have to keep going. Point four, I'm almost gone. God has a personality. God says, I will pour out my Spirit. God is a spirit with a personality implies that an individual possesses a tangible and qualities of character. If you have a personality, that means you have clear things that I can define you as. That means I can define Pastor Zach as one who believes in the power of Jesus Christ, that he lives it by what he says and what he does. It is a tangible evidence of God speaking in his life. And God wanted the world to know that he was going to pour out his spirit upon men and women in the world. And this is evident in a permanent display of his Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, God designed this thing so that when God pours out your spirit, his spirit, he pours so much of it into us that we cannot contain it. And everybody that comes in contact with us is living in our overflow. Everybody that comes in contact with you, everybody that comes in contact with me, see a part of God living inside of me that resonates with the God that's living inside of them. And our spirits begin to praise God together. That was a good place for an amen right there. Amen. Now, the person is supposed to, once we get God's spirit in us, it was designed to do this, that we began to see things God's way. The spirit was given to us that we can be on one accord. We can only be on one accord when I stop looking at things my way. And I started looking at things God's way. And the text suggests that the only way that we can begin to look at things God's way is that we have an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You see, I believe preachers can't preach without God's Holy Spirit. I believe teachers can't teach without God's Holy Spirit. I believe that believers will lose hope without God's Holy Spirit. In essence, what God is saying, that the task ahead of us to slay the world, to win the world for Jesus Christ, is so awesome that it can only happen by a powerful intervention of God's Holy Spirit. So what God decided to do, God decided that God would place a piece of God. I got to stop, man. I'm getting excited. I got to slow down. God decided that he would place a piece of God on the inside of you and on the inside of me, a piece that is so powerful that it is where we get our common word, dynamite. You see, in the New Testament, it's called dunamis. It means that God that lives on the inside of us is so powerful that it is an explosion waiting to happen in your life, that you have something so powerful down on the inside of you that the world cannot take and the world cannot handle. It belongs to you because God has given it to you and God has decided to take residence in your lives. Amen. God decided to get the job done. He was going to move in with you. God decided that he wasn't going to leave it up to me. He wasn't going to leave it up to you. God said, I'm going to move in so they can get the job done. What is that job? I'm glad you asked. The job is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to transform the world so every man, every woman, every child will know that God loves them, that God died for them, that God comes daily to provide for their needs, that God does not want to be God without them, that God doesn't want to be the supreme ruler of the universe without us. God has commissioned us to let a dying world know that we have a risen Savior that's in the world today. The world needs to know that a loving God wants them to be with him throughout eternity, that this is the shortest part of our existence, that when we leave here like that 25-year-old did, when he leaves here, he's going to spend all of eternity with God. This is the shortest part of my existence, but I got a walk coming with heaven in eternity where I'm going to walk with God till the end of all times. Joel's prophecy is there to remind us that we have a power that's greater than anything the world has to offer. It is also there as a reminder that there is judgment for all of those who don't accept that power. Therefore, He poured out his spirit, said Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but it's going to be by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So I ask you a question again just before I sit down. Are we there yet? Are we at the place where Christ is coming again? My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I believe we are here. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter. He says these words: "You should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient at their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what was good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but will reject the power that will enable them to live godly." In other words, the church folks will act like they have power, but without the Holy Spirit, they cannot have power. So they have the facade of living the way God wants them to live. But without the Holy Spirit, they cannot act with the power that God has designed for us to live. So I ask you, how many of you know people who are living lives the way Paul described it to Timothy? I want to tell you this morning that we are indeed in need of an outpouring of God's Spirit. We need God's Spirit to guide us and to empower us. In times like we are living in today, we need an outpouring so that we can pour out the message of hope and deliverance that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins, and he's coming back. Until then, can we accept him in our hearts through his Holy Spirit? Therefore, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl should be positioning themselves for God to open the floodgates of heaven so that God can pour out God's Spirit and let it rain on us. Let Spirit, God's Spirit rain all over me. Let God's power rain over my life, rain over me. So when I hug someone that don't know God, they will feel the saturation of God's Holy Spirit permeating from my body to theirs. Hear me now, children of God. We've got to let go and let the Almighty God have total control over our lives. When this is done, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives with a purifying authority that gives the blessed assurance, that comforts us when we are lonely, that inspires us when we are discouraged, that strengthens us when we are weak, that helps us when we feel helpless, and relieves us when we feel the burdens of the world are too heavy for us to carry. Only when one truly becomes possessed fully of the Holy Spirit, only when one becomes overflowed in God's Spirit, that we can totally experience the presence and power of God's love, of God's grace, and God's mercy in our lives. That mercy that supplies unsurpassable peace. That mercy that picks us up when we've fallen down. That mercy that keeps us calm in the middle of life's storms. That mercy that enables us to run and not be weary and walk without fainting. That mercy that makes us as soldiers that want to hold on just a little while longer. That mercy that enables us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When our battle gets hot and heavy, God begs us to turn to God to guide us through God's Holy Spirit. When our lives get tough and it gets rough, God's Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us. When our days are long and lonely, God's Holy Spirit is there to lead us. When our situation is dismal and dreary, God's Holy Spirit is there to lead us. When our valleys get dark and difficult, We need to let God's Spirit lead us when our way gets wretched and weary. That's the time that we need God's Spirit to take control. When we're down in Egypt land, that's the time when we need God's Spirit to lead us out. When we're lost in the darkness, that's the time when God's Spirit leads us. When we're deep in trouble, that's the time we need God's Spirit to lead us. When our friends have forsaken us and fled and left us alone, that's the time we need God's Spirit. You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit, the all of God, is present to remind us that the work of Christ has already done on our behalf. I've already read the end of the story. We win. God's victory has given us the victory. And the Spirit is there to remind me. He has already saved my soul. My friends may disappear, but the Spirit reminds me that He saved my soul. My money may dry up, but the Spirit reminds me that He saved my soul. My car may not start, but the Spirit is there to remind me that He saved my soul. My body may give out, but the Spirit reminds me that He saved my soul. My job may end tomorrow, but the Spirit is there to remind me He saved my soul. My friends may forsake me, but He's there to remind me that He saved my soul. My dog may leave me, but He saved my soul. My dollar may not go as far as it used to, but the Spirit is there to remind me that He saved my soul. Am I talking to real people in here today? I may walk with a limp and arthritis may have my body down, but the Spirit reminds me that He saved my soul. I may need a wheelchair just to get into the house of God, but His Spirit reminds me that He saved my soul. I may have to wear glasses that's thicker than Coca-Cola bottles, but His Spirit is there to remind me that He saved my soul. So, brothers and sisters, I came this morning in a snowstorm to tell you, let the Spirit of God fall afresh on you, that during this Advent season, this is a good time to take a reality check and see how we're allowing God to come into our lives on a daily basis. How we are allowing God's Spirit to allow us to live victoriously as we walk this journey from now until Christ returns in final victory. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Today are the days that I feel like I was born for, is moments like this. And so now, may the God of hope fill you all with His Holy Spirit, so you will be filled with all joy and peace as you trust and place your hope in Him, in Jesus Christ, so that you may overflow with hope and with the love and peace and joy of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.